Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Film Pigs podcast. Tonight we're doing a bacon episode because Steve Skelton got a job. He got a COVID time job, so he couldn't do it. So I'm here with Steve Falk. Hi, Steve Falk.
Oh, hello. Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm all right.
Oh, good.
It's good to see you. You look excellent.
I'm in my kitchen because no one's here.
And nobody's there, and you can.
Yeah, I didn't want my dog to, like, she sometimes forgets why she's upstairs alone, or and she'll just start barking. So it's better if I'm here, and she can just sort of stare at me and go, okay, now I understand why I'm here, and then she can just go to sleep.
So Zoe's right there at your feet right now.
Yeah, she's doing her one. She's wandering around. Older dogs tend to circle and get nervous. She's on Xanax too, so, but it only seems to help a little bit.
How can you get me some of that Xanax?
Yeah, from my vet. You know, it's funny, they're very strict about it, and I'm always like, I'm really bad at ordering the prescription on time, so I'm always like, it's like I'm jonesing. I'm always like, hey man, I gotta get prescription. Well, for my dog, it's for my dog, but my dog is gonna freak out, man. My dog's like, seriously, my dog's really feeling anxious. She has a big deadline coming up. I'm always like, I even bring Zoe to Walgreens drive-thru so they could see that there's a dog, so it's not like. Because the prescription even says Zoe the dog Falk, but it seems like like how many Zanny addicts are just using their dog as a
cover? Harder core for dogs, or they're smaller creatures, so it must be a lower dosage.
It's a good question. I actually don't know. I'm not a Zanny expert. I've only taken it once or twice, but I do feel like a terrible addict every time I go in for a refill.
I want to try like three of Zoe's Xanax next time I come over.
You should. You may fall asleep on my rug for 10 hours straight.
Right on. Yeah. That sounds great.
Yeah.
I'll wear a mask. It'll be cool, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm, your family's cool with me passing
totally
out
cool.
like that.
Totally cool.
During a pandemic. Yeah. That's awesome. So it's Halloween times.
Oh.
And since we were saddled with this bacon episode, as they're called, which are loose conversations about whatever, I thought we should talk about Halloween-centric stuff. Let's start with, we used to, when we did our show on YouTube, we would have a segment in the car called What Have You Seen Lately? So I wanted to talk to you about that in the realm of Halloween-centric movies. What have you seen?
I see. So I recently joined website. What is it called? I should know this. Letterboxd. Have you joined that?
No. What's that?
You should join Letterboxd. I think you'd really like it. So there's a website where you basically write down all the movies you've seen, and it has them. It pulls them up easily, and you can write reviews or just keep lists. And you can just sort of like scroll through other film aficionados things and just click saw, 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 saw. So it's pretty easy to like, I mean, for you, it'd be hard because you've probably seen a lot more movies than most people. But it's a good thing. So I'm just checking that to see what.
I have an app called Just Watch, which helps me figure out like everything that I have access to that I like. In all the apps that I have paid for.
Okay.
This sounds good, more specific on a certain level.
Yeah, and also like I like because like, you know, I'll have friends who will review something or someone will like, I'll just say, I don't know what I want to watch today. And they'll go in my, tonight, and they'll go in my watch list and they'll pick one for me. Oh, you should see that. That's great. Or, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's kind of cool. It's kind of a neat way to do it. So find me. I'm Stephen Falk. I'm just my name. If anyone is on anyone's on Letterboxd.
You can just go to Stephen Falk and see what you're watching and what you love and what you hate.
Yeah, it's completely not updated yet. I've been working through the 80s to try to upload everything I've seen, like click on everything I've seen. But I'm just trying to see where I can see newest release date? No, that's not.
No. Well, we were, while you figure it out,
yeah,
you told me to watch a movie called Hashtag Alive.
I did. This is a Korean contained zombie movie. All takes place in one sort of housing unit, '40s era townhouse kind of, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think of it?
I dug it a lot, as did my entire family. We had a great time with it. And it's one of these kind of zombie movies that could have serious issues that gets around them. And I think a lot of that comes down to the lead performance. I don't know the actor's name, but he is so good at going from one stage to the next, which seems emotionally logical. But also as an actor, I'm watching it going, this must have been impossible to do. It must have been exhausting.
Yeah.
You know, he goes through all the stages of alcoholism and recovery in 5 minutes.
He was in that movie Burning that I was trying to explain to you, that Steven Yeun is from the zombie show, from Walking Dead, is in. Which is another really fascinating Korean
film. Mayhem.
And Mayhem, yes. Yeah. And right, Steven Yeun is. But this lead actor is the lead actor in that movie. And I'm a big fan. I really like him. He pushes in moments, you know, a tiny bit. But he's really emotional. He's emotional in a way that American actors are not willing male American actors are not willing to be. I find.
Yeah. Well, it's harder, I think, for American dudes just to act that way.
I guess so.
Because we're conditioned to not.
I don't know that the South Koreans are conditioned to be particularly emotional. I just don't.
That's
know.
True. That's true. Well, but I do think that in South Korea they celebrate the theater a lot more than they do in the States, and I think that. We've had this conversation about English actors versus American actors.
We have,
and why are so many
for sure?
And the point you brought up, and I think it was from some article from somewhere, but that made sense to me, is in these other countries, Australia and in England and South Korea, the theater is celebrated. So you're not macho if you're an actor in the theater.
Right.
So that's why the movies have so many of these guys who are so good.
Right. That was actually Sean Ryan, creator of The Shield, his theory that the American leading man does not go into acting because in the UK and Australia, that's why so many of our leading men are English or Irish or Australian or Welsh. Or Scottish, there's
New
a tradition
Zealand
there that
too,
it's not seen as, it's seen as manly to go into the theater, and here it's seen like you're a pussy. And his theory was that if he went to a lot of division one football teams, like college football teams, and auditioned some of these guys, some of the, you know, the big macho guys, he'd find some real talent, because basically those kind of alpha male dudes tend to go into sports, which makes sense.
It's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes sense. Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so that I thought that was a good film, very contained. It's sort of a two-hander for the most part, you know, between him and this woman, mostly him, and then he meets a girl.
And she's a real martial arts phenom, right? This chick.
I don't know.
Movie?
I did not look her up. Is she?
I think she is. I don't know. It looked that way. It looked that way to me. She was very talented. At what she was doing.
Yeah, she was great. What have you seen lately?
I watched this movie that on a double feature with Hashtag Alive called The Night Eats the World, which is on.
Oh, I've heard of this.
It's on Amazon Prime and it's from the UK, I guess. English language movie, but it reminded me so much of Hashtag Alive because it's that. It's a contained, high-rise apartment building, not super high-rise, but, you know, multiple stories apartment building, guy stuck in his place. This guy's a percussionist artist. It doesn't have the intensity of Hashtag Alive as far as pacing is concerned, Once it gets there, it's really good. And also the lead actor, like hashtag alive, is very good.
Is it a
and
zombie going, movie?
Yeah, it's a zombie movie. It's the same thing. It's like a guy trapped in an apartment sees the zombie outbreak. He's stuck in his apartment by himself. And he's got nothing to do but play his drums. But when he plays his drums, it attracts what? Zombies.
A&R reps from the music industry.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Those zombies and reps.
Yeah.
And that's what he has to, like, if he wants to play, he's going to attract both. And they're both troublesome.
What's
they're
this movie both, called?
It's called The Night Eats the World.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm putting it on my list.
It's on Amazon. It's fun. And I've seen other stuff.
I just realized I did see another horror movie because we are talking about horror movies mostly or disturbing movies. I think like this is more of a, it's kind of less a horror movie than a disturbing movie, but it's a couple years old, The Witch, that no, I had not seen.
Oh, with the guy with the raspy voice. Yeah.
Yes, yes.
He's in Hurricane Heist.
Okay, the Robert Eggers movie, the guy who did The Lighthouse.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen The Lighthouse yet. It's on my list. It's hard to get my wife to watch anything black and white.
Or in 4:3 aspect ratio.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of trouble that I have getting her to watch that stuff.
I would urge you to watch The Lighthouse. It was one of my favorite movies of last year.
Yeah, I know. You told me it was great, and I want to watch it, and she does too. But it's like I gotta get her at the right time.
Sure.
Can we watch it with Colby?
Can you watch it with Colby? Yeah, totally. He might be bored.
Yeah, yeah, but it'd be okay to put on with him in the room.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. I mean, knowing you guys, yes. Knowing your lax parenting.
So what'd you think of The Witch?
Yeah, it was okay.
I really didn't like it. Yeah. I thought it was boring. I loved him. I loved the patriarch of the family. Is really fascinating to watch.
Yeah, and Anna Joy, what's her name, that everyone loves right now. I think she's interesting. It was fine. It was kind of cool. I liked the look of it. He's a very, very talented filmmaker.
It was very pretty. I mean, there's no two ways about it. It's super good looking. And you're right. The acting pretty much across the board. I can't think of any bad performance. No. The acting's really good.
Well, the baby was fucking trash.
Yeah, the baby sucked. You're right. The baby sucked.
But I think in terms of, you know, in terms of filmmakers who are working in interesting, like with interesting palettes of like story palettes, I think because, you know, between that and The Lighthouse, no one's doing kind of what he's doing. You know, these sort of very old-timey things, but shot in really beautiful, lush manner.
It's sort of what Midsommar was, though.
Yeah, I think he's, yes, and I will talk about him later, but I think he's in that same sort of category for sure.
Did you like Midsommar?
We'll talk about it later. Let's talk about it in our thing.
Right. Should I go next?
Sure.
I saw something that was I didn't like, but it was amusing because it was offensive on a lot of levels.
Okay.
It was a movie called The Ranger.
Now, what is that?
It's a movie. I think it's on Shudder right now, but it's about a psychotic park ranger.
Okay.
And his relationship with a young woman who was once a girl who. Spoiler alert, but you learn this pretty soon in the movie, so it's not that big a deal. But she accidentally shot her dad.
Okay.
When he was teaching her to shoot. And this ranger took her under his wing because he was a psycho killer. And he witnessed her murder her own dad and then just like helped her cover it up. And then ultimately got caught for being a serial killer himself by helping her cover up her murder. Even though she was a child and it probably wouldn't have been a thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But then she's an older person and she goes back to her town, as you do. And he's out of the mental institution and back on the job. And he murders all her friends.
Yeah, okay. Not good.
Yeah. No, it's really not. I didn't like it. I like the concept.
Yeah, no, it sounds interesting. I'll tell you a movie, not a horror movie, but something I did see and not like at all. It's the remake of Force Majeure with Will Ferrell.
Oh, and, yeah. What'd you think of that?
It was absolute trash. It was.
Did you not enjoy it at all?
Oh, no. I mean, did you see it?
I've seen both versions, and yeah. I didn't hate the Will Ferrell version because I didn't think the original was that big a deal. It's all about the, you know, it's all about the avalanche sequence. It looks awesome, and you see it on YouTube, and you're like, that's hilarious. And then you see the entire movie, and it's not
see,
that fun.
See, for me, it's all about the slow, subtle aftermath of that kind of crack in a marriage. That kind of loss of trust that you don't see portrayed in that way in complete pussiness. And the key being like subtle, and this version was the opposite. And it felt really like, you know, it felt like they got noted to death by the studio of, well, sure. We can't be subtle, and so we have to have Julia Louis-Dreyfus do a bunch of, like, you know, really angry / crying monologues to him about how she betrayed she is, rather than just showing us how betrayed she feels. They had to tell us. So it made for tonal shifts that I found incredibly bizarre. I'm fine with a tonal shift in a movie, obviously. But when you have someone like Will Ferrell doing some, you know, some kind of goofy Will Ferrell stuff, but then you knee-jerk us into, we're like, oh, we're, and Julia Louis-Dreyfus obviously is really funny, and then we're like, oh, this is like a Cassavetes drama suddenly. It just didn't, you know what I mean? I just don't think the filmmakers, which is Jim Rash and that other guy, I don't think they could handle... I just didn't feel they were skilled enough to handle it.
I can see that. I had heard nothing but bad stuff about it. So when I watched it, I was like, it's fine. Seems like a Will Ferrell movie to me.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, without being very funny though.
I remember laughing at times. Yeah. But yeah, there wasn't a high bar that needed to happen for me on that one. So yeah, no. I get it. It's sort of like, do you remember Hot Pursuit with John Cusack?
I do. Yeah.
Mm. So when I was a kid, I was deeply disappointed by that movie. I was expecting the funniness of One Crazy Summer or Better Off Dead or The Sure Thing, any of those, yeah. Or a combo of those. And he's not in the movie very much, and right. There's too much with the stillers, and it's a bad, uneven piece of garbage that at the time I felt insulted by. And then I got older and I watched it again. I was like, it's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's some jokes.
That expectation, I mean, but you can't follow up One Crazy Summer with anything really and not be disappointed, because that movie is so goofy and funny, and
that's true.
Features
it's just that I think if How I Got Into College had starred John Cusack, you would be singing a different song, because that's a good movie.
How I Got Into College,
yeah, that's the third in the Savage Steve Holland movies. So there's Better Off Dead, One Crazy Summer.
I remember that movie.
And How I Got Into College.
I remember that movie. Yeah.
And they all have one thing in common. Taylor Negron plays a mailman in all three movies.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, that's good. Hilarious. So did I talk about Blackwater Abyss on this podcast before? I can't remember.
Give me a quick breakdown.
It's the sequel to Blackwater, which is an Australian gator movie.
I think you did.
Okay, good. So I'm not going to go there. I did watch, and again, I can't remember if we talked about this on the Pigs podcast or when we were just talking together the other night on your deck, but Antebellum.
Oh, yeah. It's going to win Razzies, apparently.
Oh, really? It's that bad?
I've heard.
because, I mean, I've seen it. And I wanted to see it because the concept was interesting to me and Jordan Peele's involvement and everything else. And when we were watching it, it was just more boring. It wasn't like a fun Razzie kind of movie.
Yeah.
But what made the boredom kind of super uncomfortable was the subject matter. I mean, you were hanging out and watching. It was like, it reminded me of that Django Unchained, where I had to sit through uncomfortable, horrifying moments of slaves being tortured, right?
Yeah.
To get to Don Johnson. And that's what... That's what Antebellum felt like, except there was no...
No payoff?
There was no... Well, there was no Don Johnson, at least. But, like, when you got to the future, it was it was not interesting. And you were like, why am I watching this? It was... Yeah, it was bad.
Oh, that's too bad. Oh, well. Good intentions, all.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You see anything else?
I mean, nothing really worth talking about. I told you I saw Gemini Man was fine, I thought.
Right. With the two Will Smiths.
Yeah. Borat was pretty good, the new one. Trial of the Chicago 7 was basically what you would expect from a Sorkin movie about the yippies and the DNC riots. Caught up on a couple of old movies, A Woman Under the Influence, speaking of Cassavetes, and Wings of Desire.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You've gone full classics.
I like to mix it up. And then I watched the abysmal Courier.
So, with the Gary Oldman?
No, the Courier is a newer movie with just some chick on a motorcycle.
Oh, I thought Gary Oldman.
I'm sorry, Gary Oldman. I was thinking Gary Busey. Yes, Gary Oldman. Gary Oldman.
And, so you forgot Gary Oldman was in this movie.
No, Gary Oldman and Dermot Mulroney do some of the worst acting. Gary Oldman is so, like, there's fun over the top Gary Oldman in a lot of things, and this is not fun Gary Oldman. This is dialogue being piped in and just doing random things to try to cover your total lack of commitment and preparation.
Is Mulroney over the top, or is he just like phoning it in?
Just phoning it in. It's just, he's reciting this dialogue, but you can't imagine he didn't go, listen, can I just rewrite? Let me just take a pass at this. Do you mind? Because clearly you're not auteurs here. So, you're not David Mamet. You're not precious about every line in this fucking, as this like government functionary. Really bad movie.
Yeah. Sorry, man. That sounds terrible. Did you see Tremors Shrieker Island yet?
Not yet. Uh-uh. How is it?
I liked it.
Yeah.
But I was not going to not like it. All right. So, I mean, it would have had, I mean, it's not a good movie, but it would have had to have been unbelievably bad for me not to like it.
Right.
Because it's got Tremors in it, and it's got the Shriekers in it.
Yeah.
And it's got Michael Gross in it. And then beyond that, it's all good.
All good.
Sure. Yeah. Just throw in Napoleon Dynamite. I don't care. That's fine. As long as there's underground worms eating people, I'm good.
Right. As long as you didn't pay him out of your Tremors budget.
Yeah. Exactly. I it was enjoyable. I mean, if you're in the mood for that sort of thing.
All right.
So I thought we'd talk, now that we've done that, we'd talk about some of the scariest moments for us in movies. It doesn't have to be horror movies, just moments that freaked you out and have stuck with you through the years as a memory in your head. Do you want me to go first?
It doesn't matter. Should we just trade off
We should just trade off. Okay, I didn't know if you wanted me to go first to just sort of exemplify. Okay, so not a horror movie. Also not a movie I like. I don't like it as a movie. But the sequence in Private Ryan where what's his face? The Jewish kid.
Goldberg gets killed.
Goldberg, is fighting with the Nazi. Yeah. And you're so in Goldberg's place. And all you want is for him to vanquish. And he doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, that movie horrified me and made me feel horrible and continues to this day.
Wow, when he said, like, when he was like, no, like that moment.
Yeah. That whole, like, his death is horrifying.
I agree. That was a close to the feeling of being able to empathize or really like vibe in on the horror of just being you, just being a regular, funny, silly guy, suddenly in a physical fight to the death with someone.
With not just someone, with a Nazi.
Yeah, well, with a Nazi, but
the easiest people to hate.
Yeah. That's a good one. Mine starts very basic, but you know, the Jaws opening. I mean, the idea that water was now unsafe, be it a pool, a bathtub, a lake. I think it took one of the elements and made it a no-go zone for a whole generation of people.
That's what's great about Nightmare on Elm Street. I feel like it's the same thing.
That's my next one. I'll just say it now.
Oh, yeah.
Nightmare on Elm Street then made sleep unsafe. So you couldn't go in the water and you couldn't go to sleep.
That's so mean.
Yeah.
Just to piggyback on your Jaws, mine is, for me... is
Jaws 3D when the bone comes.
Yes, flying. The bones flying. Yeah, no, yeah. It's Quint getting eaten. That to me, when he's kicking his feet and screaming and trying to keep his ankles on both sides of the jaws, like on the nose and the chin of the shark to keep himself from going in, that moment, like coupled with what comes at, like, I hate that.
Well,
it still scares me.
I think the Saving Private Ryan speaks to an acting thing where the actors who really, really invest in the reality of the moment of a death can make a otherwise very standard death feel that much more disturbing. You know what I mean? That's a topic we could think about, you know, just characters who you really feel like they're suffering, you know? I thought like Tim Roth in Reservoir Dogs, you're like slowly bleeding out, never felt so just horrible, you know?
Well, and you hang out with it in that movie for a while.
You really do.
Rough.
Yeah, well, you go. I kind of did two on top of it.
All right. I did two too, but I'll go. Okay. So of all the moments of John Carpenter's The Thing is probably my favorite movie of all time. Probably.
Yeah.
But definitely my favorite horror movie. Definitely my favorite horror sci-fi movie. But there's so many moments in that when I first saw it that scared the crap out of me. But there's one that always sticks in my head, and it's not gory at all. It's the scene where there's a dog, the dog, who's been taken over, I guess, you realize in retrospect, but he's wandering down a dark hallway. And then there's just a moment, and he looks up, and you see the silhouette of one of the scientist dudes working over a thing, and then his silhouette just turns to look at the dog. And then the dog walks through the doorway.
Mm-hmm.
And that, like, I can't ever get that out of my head. It's so creepy to me. Just that one moment.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is so many of these things, horror in general, it matters when you see it, at what age, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
This I really don't have any excuse for, and I know you don't have any feeling about this movie, but Blair Witch scared the shit out of me. I didn't think it was true. I'm not gullible in that way, but it just, the lo-fi nature of it was something I hadn't really seen, and it kind of plays into the way in which it was creepy at the very end particularly, but also just that elemental fear of the woods. I think it did it for it fucked up a generation of people.
Yeah, it's true. I never I never understood that because the woods were out my back door, so I would hang out in the woods. I kept stuff in the woods. I kept like porn mags in the woods. I kept shit out in the woods.
Oh well, if that's your porn place, I can't get scary.
Yeah, you can't be scared of the woods. It doesn't matter if there's like a half goat, half man that comes at you. You gotta get to your porn.
Yeah, I
mean, Jesus, it's simple. one of the things that, and I don't know, is it scary? Like when you see a piece of gore, you know, a gag in a movie that makes your balls get cold. You know what I mean? Like you got punched in the, and it's just horrifying. And you're like, ew. Yeah. So, and I don't know if that's pure terror, but it's definitely real. But there's a scene in Lucio Fulci's Zombie, in which a lady's eyeball is penetrated by a splinter of wood.
Yeah, eyeballs are a big thing.
Yeah, I can't do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I really don't like that.
Oh, that's a good one. This is an age I was seeing it at. I can't imagine it's a scary movie at all. But my parents took me to see Agatha Christie's Death on the Nile, I believe is the movie.
Oh,
title.
Sure, yeah.
And I may be conflating two different movies. Who knows if they took it? Maybe it was Murder on the Orient Express. I don't know. But like, you find out who the bad person is. It's a female, and this is my memory from like being 8 or 9, and then her hugging her lover who's horrified or whatever, you know, like a goodbye, and then she has a gun and shoots him in the head for like in close up, and that terrified me.
Yeah, that's horrifying. That's horrifying
because it was the betrayal of a tender, cliche tender moment.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I had one that snuck up on me, I guess, when I was a kid. I mean, like what you said about age, you know, and what you're talking about with that reminds me of it. And it's a PG-rated movie, and it's, I guess, sci-fi horror, but it's Wes Craven's version of The Swamp Thing. And I was just, it was the summertime, and I had hung out with the neighbor's kids, and they were like, hey, we're going to go back to the house and watch The Swamp Thing. It's on Channel 38 or whatever. And I was like, cool. And me and my brother, sister all went over there, and it's a bananas movie, but there's a part where the Swamp Thing just crushes a guy's head. And I'd never seen this before, I don't think. And blood comes out of his orifices as his head's getting crushed.
Yeah.
And he looks so sad and scared, even though he was a monster in his lifetime. He looks sad and scared. So that image has stuck with me as, I don't know, every time I get claustrophobic or I'm congested, I remember that guy's head getting crushed. I don't know why.
That's hilarious. The next one. Oh, well, actually, you know what? Let me just get it. Let me get a beer once you vamp for a second.
All right, I'll vamp. I'll do one of mine while you're gone. Okay. This is Falk won't care about missing this. So in Cronenberg's The Brood, the babies, they're like these toddler children things with non-faces, and they like screech and they come out of your cabinets. And the scene where the lady, the babysitter, the drunk aunt babysitter lady, is hassling with the monster babies coming out of her cabinets, I hate that.
What movie?
It's terrifying. The Brood.
Oh, okay. This is partially because of age, but also it hits on that sort of, you know, what it follows kind of played on, that sort of relentless, slow killer, and that's Halloween.
Sure.
You know, the mask, obviously, but, and Jamie Lee Curtis is so effective, but you know, and it fucked up.
Is there a moment? Is there a moment in the movie?
I think just that initial thing of it looking up at her from, you know, down the street, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, from behind the bush.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's there, and he's gone.
Then he's gone.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
sure.
That That fucked me up as a kid.
Yeah, for sure. The murder in that movie that always horrified me was the strangulation in the car.
Yeah.
Because the way she... The windows get fogged up, and it... That really stuck with me, for sure.
Yeah.
One of the ones I thought you might think is amusing that I have is... Like, I was scared of horror movies when I was a kid. Yeah. So... When I saw Ghostbusters, I wasn't well-versed in horror movies at all. Yeah. So there's that scene where Bill Murray's with Sigourney Weaver. She's possessed. She starts floating.
Oh, right? Yeah. Sure.
And he's talking to her, and there's jokes and jokes. And it's very funny. And then at a certain point, he just goes, "Will you please come down?" And there's just like a moment of silence that feels like it goes on forever, where she's just sort of... close to like caressing his cheek from floating, and then out of nowhere she just barks really loud. Like that scared the living fuck out of me.
Oh my god, that's hilarious. Yeah, I for some reason Ghostbusters didn't, but I guess I should have cashed this entire topic by saying I do consider myself a horror pussy, and I, you know, I will pretty much watch anything, but there's a certain psychological horror movie that is just unrelentingly unpleasant and dour, mm-hmm. that I don't like. Like gore,
like a Saw movie or a Hostel movie.
No, because those have a gleeful nature to their there's a glee in the
in
the torture. But like I haven't seen it, but I think it hints on this. But like the idea of Hereditary, I don't even know what it's about, but there's something about that, like a family and a kid and Toni Collette, and that just doesn't make me go, "Ooh, this is going to be a good time. This is going to be."
It's really not.
Yeah. So, and Disabilities, and I don't know exactly what's going on there, but that kind of horror movie kind of fucks me up. But in general, I was a pussy. I was a horror pussy for most of my life. And I don't, it's not the genre I go to. Unless I'm like with a bunch of people and it's like a lot of fun. But if I'm going to watch a movie alone, it's not generally going to be a horror movie. I don't like to make myself scared.
I get you. I mean, I didn't go to horror movies. The only reason I went is just what you said. It's friends of mine were like, "Hey, we're going to see Pet Sematary." So I'd get up the cojones to go see Pet Sematary to prove to my friends.
But then you married someone who's a horror aficionado.
And she turned me into a total horror junkie, sure. Right, yeah. Right, and and now I'm more of a junkie than she is. Like, I watch the stuff that I never would have touched because she's so into it.
It's like now, she introduced you, like she really wanted to have a MMF threesome. And now you're just fucking dudes left and right. Like, so
it's her own fault.
You did it for her, and now you got addicted to dick.
I love the dick. Yeah. Yeah, I watch the worst kind of stuff on every level, like stuff she won't go near. She doesn't like, murder, rape, porn stuff, and I'll watch all that crap. It's horrible.
Anyway, we were just mentioning this, but... And I was in high school, and I saw this with a bunch of friends, and we had a sleepover because we were all too scared to go home, and that was Pet Sematary. And I
saw that in the theater, man.
I think it was Zelda that fucked me up.
Oh, yeah. That movie sucks except for Zelda.
Right?
Especially when Zelda turns, when Zelda is the little kid, Gage is Zelda, and he comes out of the shadows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't like that.
Yeah, I did not like that at all. And we were all like just bros, and we were like, "Hey, y'all want to like just have a sleepover?" And we all knew exactly what was going on. We all slept on the floor of my friend Jeff's house. So embarrassing.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Another one that sticks with me is another movie that I hated. I hated this movie. I thought it was mostly boring.
Yeah.
But there's a sequence in it that is still upsetting to me, and it's the movie Antichrist, where Willem Dafoe's...
Yeah, in the woods.
Doingus gets fucking nailed to the floor.
I have not seen it. It didn't sound appealing to me.
It didn't sound appealing to me either, but everybody was like, this is the most intense horror experience. And like I told you, I just was willing to watch anything if it's going to upset me on that level, because most of it really doesn't.
Yeah.
And that, like, the movie didn't upset me. It annoyed me. But that sequence upset the shit out of me. I was, why am I watching this? This is horrible.
Yeah, yeah. Horrible. Well, that's, I mean, Willem Dafoe is also such a goddamn good and messy actor. He's I mean, there's no one who could sell that in both a over the top and realistic way, I think. I mean, he's a, you know, he's a Wooster Group member. Like, he's into like Grotowski type theater. He's into like big gestures.
Yeah.
He's an overt actor. He's not an introverted actor. And that's why you see The Lighthouse. It's his performances.
I wish I could do that as an actor, but whenever I go over the top, everybody says, can you bring it down a little bit?
Well, I think, I mean, there's something about his instrument and his training that just allows him to get by with it. The way he looks, you know, also.
So you're saying I went to the wrong college?
Well, also, but I think you're also too mundane looking.
Oh, that's actually,
I mean, he's so fucking strange looking that he can get away with, like, you know, that character in Wild at Heart
and
and playing you know, what's the Nosferatu character in what was that movie? Remember, he was not
it wasn't called Nosferatu. Into the Shadow of the Vampire. Yes. We got there.
Okay. So this is a movie I did not enjoy, and I don't find it scary, but there was an element of it, and it probably would have been better if I'd seen the original, but of The Ring, that I do find kind of terrifying.
Okay.
Just that concept of just the way it shot the girl, the disturbing, you know, images being thrown down a well. And then the hair and starting to come. And the minute she breaks through, the minute she comes through. But that idea of psychologically of seeing something and then it's going to kill, like you're going to die because you saw it against your will. There's something in that that's scary. Like,
that concept's great. But also, you're right, the visual of her coming out of the well with the hair.
Yeah.
You know, which became a J-horror motif. But yes. I like, also to this day, like, if my bathtub, you know, I have a bathtub shower situation. So if it starts getting backed up and I'm standing in water, it's always because I need to pull hair out of the drain. And you pull the hair out of the drain, and I always think of these movies every time. I'm like, it's the fucking.
And now I will too. Thank you.
so sorry. Well, it's a gross thing that you.
It is. It is a gross thing. It is a gross thing
that you have to do. The only one I want to add to this, I guess, is, well, we talked via emails about Raiders of the Lost Ark and the Melting Faces, and that, when I was a kid, actually made me want to barf, and that was intense. but Jacob's Ladder, with all the creepy stuff that's in it, there's this sequence where he's in trouble, he can't breathe, you know, he has the fever, he goes to the hospital, and he's on the gurney, and it just seems like a regular hospital at first. And then as they're pushing, and you see that eventually, but as they're pushing him down the hallway, then it's a dirtier hospital. Then there's like just body parts on the floor, and there's weird creatures in the ceiling, and then the shaky head guys.
Uh-huh.
That has never, ever left me. Like, I can picture that like anytime.
Who directed that movie?
Adrian Lyne.
Oh, Adrian Lyne. That's right. Adrian Lyne. Lyne. I don't know.
I don't know how to say it. But like he directed one of my favorite movies of all time, which is Jacob's Ladder. It's so weird that he is mostly like
porn.
Cheesy erotic thriller movies.
Did he do Angel Heart too?
Maybe. I don't know.
I have a couple more. Are you done with your...
Yeah, I think I'm done with my list, yeah.
Okay, because I have a few more scary, and then I have some more disturbing ones. Should I just go through the rest of them?
Yeah, okay. Go.
the concept and not the execution of the Faces of Death when I was a kid. Just that there was this underground video of people really dying. I thought that fucked me up, just that idea.
Sure, yeah.
The movie, and I saw this too young, Poltergeist, terrified me. It just terrified me. I should not have seen it.
Well, when COVID's over, you got to come out and I'll take you over to the house.
Oh, all right, cool.
It's like 8 minutes from me.
Oh, no shit. Okay. There's two jumps. Two months. This is sort of getting the more disturbing or shocking or just pure jump scares. Seven had a jump scare and a disturbing moment. The jump scare when the guy you think is dead is like, help me, you know, that thing. Mm-hmm. In Seven, and there's actually a great, if you look at the behind the scenes featurette of him doing a whole bunch of different takes of it, but without any of the music and without, right. It's fun to watch. And then, I can't remember the actor. Is it Orson? The guy who had to wear the knife dildo.
Orser.
Orser, yeah. Orser, Leland Orser.
Leland Orser.
And yeah. he's telling that story. He's mm-hmm. so compelling and so horrified. It's such good acting. That.
Oh my God, yeah. Leland Orser is really good. He's intense, though. He's intense. I sat in an audition waiting room with him and looked at him and was like, hey, man. And he was just intense. He was he was like, hey. And I was like, I'm not going to fuck with you. I think we were auditioning for Big Mama's House 2.
he was getting deep into character.
I don't know, fuck with Leland Orser.
Okay, so here, you know, just random moments. The fingernails in The Fly.
Anything like that.
And
is
the
bad.
Teeth. Just, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, teeth and fingernails, yeah.
I hated this movie with a passion, but the Suspiria remake.
I still haven't seen that shit.
There's a dance where she dances herself to death, and it's really disturbing. And just unpleasant. Just like, oh, this is unpleasant.
Mm-hmm.
Along the same lines, I found the experience of watching Midsommar very unpleasant.
It was awful.
Yeah, I didn't like it, but I thought the first big shocking thing that happens, the two old people mm-hmm. aging out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I found that, and then, you know, she's such a good actress and her reaction to it. But also before that, when you see her parents, how her parents are murdered by her sister. And, you know, do you remember mm-hmm. that?
Yeah, yeah.
And her reaction to it, I found really kind of terrifying and also then really unpleasant to watch.
There was it reminded me very much of the original Wicker Man in that it had the genuinely unpleasant, uncomfortable, horrific moments that were stitched together with such doldrums. It was impossible for me to get past the pacing. Midsommar, yeah, there's some horrifying moments, but it's not... I didn't, like, in the end, you don't care. It's just... I mean, and part of me was like, when I watched the old people thing, I was like, well, you know, I could get into this cult if they were cooler about how, you know, just like put a bullet in me. Like, why is it on me to jump off a, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. There was a lot of things cults and religions, there's too many questions for me.
This is not super disturbing, but it struck me. I Am Legend, when he has to kill his dog, I thought that was that was sad. That just bummed me out.
That's a big sad moment.
Yeah, I actually really love that movie, but the remake.
I do too. I actually like all the incarnations of that story.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is Last Man on Earth with Vincent Price. Omega Man
mm-hmm.
with Charlton Heston and I Am Legend, which is probably the most truthful to the source material. But yeah, I love those stories.
Not a scary movie at all, but a disturbing childhood moment is when I learned that like titties could not be fun, and that was my mom and sister took me to see Fame. mm-hmm. and Irene Cara is sort of manipulated into taking her top off for a photographer, and she's like crying mm-hmm. as she's like, and she's just like crying with her tits out. I was like, oh, tits. I never put tits in anything but complete joy and fun and wonder. And
that movie is such like a serious bummer. It is such a bummer. Like everything about that movie is a fucking bummer. At the time I wanted to be a stand-up comic, and the trajectory of that character.
It's terrible. Yeah,
it's horrifying.
And then my last moment. This was one of those jumps, and then everyone laughs their ass off. But it was so. I will never forget where I was sitting. What my reaction? How giddy I was afterwards. Is the Large Marge reveal in Pee-wee?
Oh my god!
Just.
My brother and I, when we saw that in the theater in Ware, Massachusetts, and we were both laughing so hard, we were crying and like hugging each other. It was the funniest fucking thing. Large Marge is the best thing.
It's the best.
It's the best thing. I like pointed, like initially when you first saw it when you were a kid, there's no more thrilling plus hysterical moment.
No.
In the history of cinema, there really is.
That's it. That's the you in that moment you learn about an emotion that you've never felt before, and very seldom after.
Yeah. It invited you to be terrified for a second, and then just laugh yourself silly because of it.
And I think and it was a very such a popular movie is that I think it was a full theater, so it was also the collective. Nature of everyone freaking out at the same time, and then everyone. There's nothing better than that kind of reaction in a full theater.
Oh my god! Have you ever seen the test audience reactions to Final Destination, the original one? When spoiler alert, everybody, when the lady gets hit by the bus out of nowhere.
Yeah. No, I don't know if I have. I know.
Like, if you see the. Blu-ray, DVD, or whatever, if there's special features and whatever you're streaming, that's one of them. And it's so fun to watch because it's a whole crowd of people going, ah! Like jumping, literally jumping out of their seats. It's amazing.
I love that. I love that. All right. Well, those are moments.
I love those moments. That was exciting. So I thought we'd end tonight with something I call Halloween Hypotheticals. Where we ask each other hypothetical questions, would you rather type things, or not would you rather, but would you wanna? And one that I was gonna just pose to you out of the gate is if you were the guy to have been the guy who portrayed an iconic slasher movie character. It doesn't matter. It's not about, you're tall, so you have to be Mike Myers. You could be Leprechaun, you can be a ghoulie. You could be a gremlin, like whatever. Like, what's your movie monster that you would have wanted to portray?
Okay, I'm listening as I grab. I just have to reach. Hold on, and grab my cord. I'm about to lose power. Hold on.
Oh no! It's we'll see how this turns out. Right now, he's reaching for the cord.
So my answer would. I think I'd have to go Freddy. Mm-hmm. I think Sorry, Freddie. Robert Englund was allowed to have so much fun. It became overly campy, obviously, and sort of not scary. But I think the depth and breadth of that character would be pretty joyous to play. What about you?
For me, if I was, I think. Jason is the guy I'd want to play because that seems like
why it's such a featureless character to play.
Yeah, it's real easy. You just walk. You put on a mask and you just.
Oh,
walk.
You're just late. You're just looking for a quick dollar.
Quick buck. Yeah.
Okay.
Quick
I get
buck.
It.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's America.
This is one you pose, but I like it. What horror franchise reboot would you want to oversee? As a creative type.
That's a hard one, but I think I'd probably want to do Final Destination.
Fuck.
Yeah, that's probably because that's conceptually that. Like, I love Friday the 13th and I love Nightmare on Elm Street as franchises for different reasons, but I think that Final Destination is my favorite conceptually. It's just my favorite concept.
Mine too. It's the perfect mousetrap movie. It's undebatable that bad guy. It's death. You cheated death, and it's not personified. It's everywhere.
There's no one-liners. It's just you and the malevolent force.
It goes beyond just the fun of seeing, you know, hot teens get killed, which is always fun. But the, you know, opening with a showstopper of a scene, is great. Is so smart, you know. And it's this refillable concept that you just wait. You want to see what the next one's gonna be.
Yeah. They never got to a ship. I wanted them to be on a cruise.
We should have a, when COVID ends, we should have a five, is it five movies?
Five, yeah, yeah.
And they keep threatening to reboot it.
Yeah, I'm friends with Craig Perry on Facebook, and he's always talking about that. And I think they're going to. I think that's the concept. But that was the pre-COVID concept, so God knows what happens to things during COVID.
Gotcha, okay.
I've got one for you.
Yeah.
If you had to live, like if you had to choose a horror movie to live inside of, you know, and it's not, you're not safe. You have to deal with the elements of the horror movie. But
God.
So you're going to go through the terror. But what movie would you choose to live in? Because you have to choose it.
Oh, my God. I think it's going to be a zombie movie.
Okay.
I think I have some pretty good tactics after watching, you know.
You're well versed in the zombie survival.
Tens and maybe 100 of these kind of movies.
So knowing that, which zombie movie do you think that you're most leaning towards politically as what zombies will be? Because there's different ones. Like shoot them and it's fine. Sometimes you shoot them in the head. Sometimes they want to just eat flesh. Sometimes it's brains. So all those things. Sometimes they're rage zombies. They just want to kill.
I'm gonna go. They're not actually zombies. They were more vampire things. But I'm gonna go for I Am Legend. I would live in that. I could live in a cool house, do a lot of chin ups,
in Manhattan.
Yeah, live with my dog. Scour at night. Have alarms that let me know when they're coming. That seemed like a pretty cool existence.
But you want to live in like a personless Manhattan. That's really specific.
Yeah, I want to be Will Smith in that movie is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I imagine I need
the delts and the traps and the all of that, too. What about you?
I don't know. I feel like the logical choice is some kind of slasher movie because then I'll hang out with, like, horny girls.
Yeah, but as soon as you fuck one of them, you die.
Yeah, yeah. Which
and usually
sounds...
before you come, though.
Yeah. It's really, it's all about anticipation. It's not about the final thing. But then I'm also like, maybe I'd want to live in, like if I lived in a zombie movie, it'd be Dawn of the Dead. But I often think about The Thing and that whole Antarctic, just dudes doing science in the cabin on a glacier.
Yeah.
It sounds both just awful and fascinating at the same time.
Sure. Doing science
on the ice. Yeah. Right. With Kurt Russell. Kurt Russell flies the helicopter. He's cool.
All right. I have one more.
All right.
What actor who's never done a horror movie would you make if you were mayor of Hollywood, mayor of movies? What actor would you make do a horror movie?
What actor would I make do?
Do you think would be good not to torture them?
Yeah, yeah. That's a good question. And I immediately thought of Richard Gere, but he's done one. I'm trying to think of an actor who hasn't done a horror movie. Because Brad Pitt's done one.
What? Interview with the Vampire?
Yeah.
That's not really a horror movie.
Well, and then he was in the serial killer movie, which could ostensibly be one, California.
And Seven, serial killer movie.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I guess, has Meryl Streep done a horror movie?
Well, River Wild was an adventure thriller.
Adventure thriller, and she was in Death Becomes Her.
Comedy.
Yeah. I'm going to go Meryl Streep,
That's funny. I straight up thought about her. Now, would you count that Fallen as a horror movie?
Yeah, that's a horror movie.
Fuck. Okay. Because I was going to say
Denzel. Think Denzel, yeah. But he has done one, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
It's true. It's a very thoughtful horror movie, but it's a horror movie.
Yes. Yeah, very thoughtful. Kevin Bacon's done one or two, at least.
A bunch.
Now, Stir of Echoes and...
he has two in the last couple years, but yeah, Tremors is technically a horror movie. Yeah.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Monster movie.
Would be fun. Shit. I was going to say Jim Carrey, but number 23 is a horror movie.
That's true. It's a supernatural thriller.
I mean, it's garbage.
Yeah, it's not good.
Oh, straight horror. No, because I think you could count the Cloverfield movie and Arachnophobia. I was going to say John Goodman. Fuck.
Oh, no, yeah. He's been in horror movies.
Yeah.
And he was in Fallen, too.
Right. Time
is on my side. I like that movie a lot.
Has Robert Downey Jr. been in a straight horror movie?
Yeah.
What?
Gothica.
Oh.
With Halle Berry.
Oh, right. Jesus, I'm striking out, dude.
Yeah, it's hard to think about because eventually everybody gets to the genre.
Everyone hits it.
Yeah.
Olivia Spencer did Ma.
Yeah.
Which I liked.
Yeah, I liked Ma a lot too.
Has Jeff Bridges done one?
Oh, well, no. I mean, he did the Supernatural Men in Black ripoff movie with Ryan Reynolds.
No, that doesn't count. R.I.P.D.
Yeah, so then, I don't know.
I'll say Jeff Bridges then.
Okay, that's cool. We better hurry up.
Oh, he's okay. He's going to be okay.
I hope so. I love that guy. How has he not been in a horror movie? We're missing something. There's got to be a horror movie that he was in. There's no way.
He was in a bomber movie. With a bomb of an accent.
He was in a
Man versus Nature movie.
Well, and he was in Starman. That's why I think
that's not a horror movie.
No, it's not. But it's a John Carpenter movie. So why wasn't Jeff Bridges in a horror movie? He must have been in a horror movie.
Is Door on the Floor a horror movie?
Door on the Floor?
Yeah.
I don't know. I never saw that.
Sounds like a horror movie.
Is that a Jeff Bridges movie?
Uh huh.
Door on the Floor. It sounds like a horror movie. He was in like an early one, early in his career. Like Tom Hanks was in that slasher movie from the early like 80s.
What's The Giver? Is that a horror movie?
That sounds like a horror movie.
What, you give people death?
Yeah, or like cancer or something.
Seabiscuit. K-Pax, that's a horror movie.
it's very scary.
Arlington Road was like...
That's a thriller. Thriller. I like that movie. Did you like that movie?
Arlington Road?
Yeah.
I wanted to like it more. I think it was an interesting twist, but it's not great.
No.
Fisher King had a fantasy horror element, but...
Sure, but it's not horror.
No, I mean, Jagged Edge is a thriller.
Yeah, I don't think there's a horror.
I don't think... All right, that's my guy.
R.I.P.D. is the closest you get to horror, then he's open to a horror movie. Let's put Bridges in a horror movie. That's our Halloween wish.
All right.
Well, do you want to wrap this up? Do you want to tell everybody like what to do this Halloween?
Don't put razor blades in apples.
Okay. Good start.
Don't go into the attic or the basement.
Don't do that. Either.
Don't put your hand... If you drop a fork into the garbage disposal, Just
don't
put
get
some
it.
Duct tape over the disposal. You're not using that anymore.
Don't get it. You're not getting the fork, and you're not disposing of anything down that.
Don't try to find pot of gold at the end of the rainbow.
Do not. Do not. That's crazy. Leprechaun will kill you.
If a strange lady says you can come party at her house.
Don't. Oh, my God. Especially if it's in her basement. Don't go.
Don't go.
Just, like, have your own party at your own house.
Don't drink her drinks.
Don't. Oh, my God. Don't do that.
Better lock the door. Better stay up late.
Oh, and here's an idea.
Grab your crucifix.
Yeah.
Zoe.
Also, don't.
Oh, my God.
Don't. What's she doing? Is she taking a shit?
Yeah, I gotta go. All right.
All right, that's it. That's the fun things. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Oh, shit.